and try to hold myself down a little bit. That's hard to do. When I try that, it never works. But I would like to have you to turn to some scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I want to deal with a subject for a few minutes tonight that every one of us has to deal with in our lives on both ends. Everybody here is going to deal with this. To the extent what he said was a perfect introduction to the message tonight. And Lord, just give me a little nudge there when he said what he said. As I'm going to talk to you about criticism. Criticism. Everybody here has to deal with that. It's rough. Sometimes we're the criticized and sometimes we're the criticizer. So you're on both ends. You have to deal with criticizing people and you have to learn how to deal with it when you get criticized. It hurts when somebody criticizes you. Especially one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Especially when it's untrue. Especially when it's cruel. But then a lot of times we forget how it hurts when it's us doing the criticizing. Boy, we find out somebody says something about us and we just say, how could they? How mean, how cruel. Then we'll turn right around and say something just as bad or worse about others. And I believe you reap what you sow. And you're going to throw it out. But to the extent that God uses you and you're kind of in the spotlight, of course, the more criticism that brings. That's why you hear a lot of talk about the president, and don't take this wrong, but no matter who's the president, they're going to get a lot of criticism. I wouldn't have that job if you gave me the moon. I mean, that's not even a spiritual job. I mean, you don't even get rewards in heaven for this. I mean, it's not a soul-winning job. Pastoring a church is 10,000 times greater than being president. But there's no way a man can be in that prominent position and not be just criticized constantly if he's George Bush, Bill Clinton, or whoever it might be. And that's something we've got to learn to live with. In Ecclesiastes 5:2, I believe it would really help us tonight if we look at this verse where it says, "Be not rash with thy mouth." A lot of people have diaper rash in the mouth, I reckon. A lot of Christians do. I ain't never thought about it just like that. They got disease. They call it diarrhea of the mouth, tell you the truth. That's awful. That's what a lot of people got. They just run it off all the time. "Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God." Look at this. "For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words." If you'll listen just a few minutes tonight, I've got a few thoughts that I'd like to bring to you. The word criticize means to judge or to find fault with. There's always a Monday morning quarterback sitting down at Walmart store or Rose's that can tell you every mistake that the Dallas Cowboys made yesterday evening in the ball game. It's always been that way. There's always these old guys that sit around in these country stores, that sit around and shoot the breeze. They can tell you what's wrong with every preacher in McDowell County. They can tell you what's wrong with every church. They don't do nothing for God. But boy, they can sure point out everybody else's faults. It's very easy. It's very easy to get into the criticizing business, where you just criticize everybody and everything and do nothing yourself. These fellows who know they said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. Whoever played the Dallas Cowboys for the Super Bowl, I don't even know who played them. If they hadn't have done this, that coach, he ain't got no sense. If he hadn't have put old so-and-so in there, they'd have won that game as sure as the world." Now, I've often wondered if they're so brilliant and know so much about football, how come one of these teams don't hire these people? If some of these people know so much about doing things, why don't they ever do it? I'll tell you why. It's easy to sit back and run your mouth about somebody trying to do something. That requires no talent whatsoever. And it's a trap to fall in. Some people relieve their own conscience by tearing down other people and finding something wrong with everybody they meet. Now, I want to say there's some people that you can't find one thing wrong with their life. They are godly. They are separated. They look right. They dress right. They act right. They read the Bible. You can't point out one thing wrong with them in their life till it comes to that mouth. They wouldn't drink a drop of liquor for $1 million cash. There's not enough money in the world to make them smoke pot. There's not enough money in the world to make them steal or kill somebody. But they have absolutely no control when it comes to that tongue. They think it's godly of them to point out everybody. They do it in a such a subtle, sneaky way that they can't get caught. When they say, well, I like Brother Todd, but some people think blah, 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 blah. And that gets in their word of criticism and trying to put an impression in your mind about him. They're like that certain kind of turkey called a capper cat. I saw it in the Guinness Book of World Records or something. And they said, that thing can run and get away from you, but the only time you can catch it is when it gobbles. And when it's gobbling, it can't get away from you, and you can capture it. Now, I thought that reminds me of a lot of Christians. The only time you can catch them is when they're gobbling. You can't find nothing wrong with their life. They don't go out and hit the neighborhood bars. But boy, they give themselves away when they start with that tongue. First of all tonight, I want to say, we are quick to criticize. We are quick to criticize. It's just our nature, especially when you're not right with God. For example, you go into a group of Christians, a lot of times you mention Peter. And I'll say, what comes to your mind when you think of Peter? You know what people say? First thing that comes in the human mind, he denied the Lord. He cussed. He's a backslider. We automatically pick out the bad things in somebody's life. Let me remind you tonight that Peter done a few things in his ministry besides cuss. Peter done a few things in his ministry besides denying the Lord in his moment of pressure. And I'm not justifying that. He was wrong. But I'll tell you what Peter did. Peter one time looked at a man right in the eye, and God the Holy Ghost read his mind, and he said, they're going to carry you out, and the man dropped dead, and his wife. Peter's shadow could pass over somebody and heal them. Peter walked a few steps on the water. People say, well, Peter doubted and he fell in. He done more walking than the other disciples did. At least he had enough guts to get out there and try it. We're so, well, Peter doubted. He took his eyes off the Lord. You never put yours on him. That's right, brother. At least he had them on there a little while. At least the man put forth an effort. You see, it's easy for the other disciples to sit back in the boat and say, Peter, you should have never doubted. You would have never went down. They didn't even have enough faith to get out there. And I suggest tonight that until your shadow can go down the hospital rooms and heal people and they start popping up when your shadow passes by, and until you can preach a sermon where 3,000 people get saved, and until you can take at least 10 steps across Catawba River without falling in, you lay off Peter. Amen? You see how quick we are to criticize. You mentioned David. What do you think of when you think of David? If you're right with God, you think of him killing the giant. If you're a fault-finding hypocrite, you think of him committing adultery with Bathsheba. When Hollywood thinks of David, they never show him killing the giant. They always show him in with that woman stealing a man's wife. I'm not just, David was wrong, David was wicked, David was backslid, he committed adultery, had the man killed, all that's wicked and everything. I'll tell you, brother, David wrote half the book of Psalms. David was a man after God's own heart, and when it come down to the end of the road, God said David's heart was perfect with the Lord all of his days, except for the matter of Uriah the Hittite. I tell you, you're doing pretty good if you can come down to the end of the road and God said your heart's perfect all your life except for one part of your life. Amen? Brother, he was wrong what he did with Bathsheba. But God said that's the only time in his life he ever messed up. Could you say that? My soul. Boy, somebody messed up. Buddy, I'll tell you one thing. That person's a low-down, sorry, good-for-nothing, everything. You better watch. The Lord might be looking at them a lot different than what you're looking at him. Thomas. When you think of Thomas, you bring up the name of Thomas. Everybody says, he's a doubter. He's a doubter. Didn't even believe. He ought to be ashamed of himself. Doubting Thomas. That name will follow him from now to the rapture. But I'll tell you what. If you really start thinking about that story, I don't really blame him too much. He was honest. And I'll tell you something else. If the other disciples, if Thomas said, I want to see him, and other disciples said, oh, come on, Tom, we seen him, believe us. If he'd went out and preached, the Lord rose from the dead, and they'd said, how do you know? He'd have said, well, they told me he was. But he said, I want to see him. I want to put my hands in the nail prints and put my hand in his side. Brother, when he went out and preached about it, people said, how do you know? He said, because I seen him. I touched him. I know the Lord is real. Thomas did a lot more in his life than doubt. I hear people criticize preachers. I don't want you to take this wrong tonight. I've heard people criticize Billy Graham. Well, Billy Graham's been cussed and lied about and talked about for 50 years. He's probably been an evangelist nearly, going up near 50 years. Now, I don't know how long. And I've got my own opinions about some things he says and does and believes. But you know what I've learned a long, long time ago? Brother, if God's got his hand on a man like that, the best thing me to do is just back off and let God and him worry about it. It's not going to help me at all to run around criticizing Billy Graham. It don't make me look bigger to put him down. Now, I'm not saying I approve of everything Billy Graham believes or does. Don't take it wrong. There's two sides. I'll preach the other side some other time. I'm just saying this. Some people think it makes their candle shine brighter if they blow the other candle out. It may look like it's brighter, but it's not. Brother, I tell you, my own personal opinion is there was a time 30 years ago when Billy Graham was like a hurricane and God has used that man. There's been thousands of people saved under his ministry that cannot be denied. And brother, whatever he's done wrong, he'll answer for it, and it's between him and the Lord. And brother, if I had a daddy that was lost without God and laid on the couch drunk, I'd say, listen to him, daddy, listen to him. Listen to what he said. Might keep my daddy out of hell. Brother, we're quick to criticize. But I'll tell you, and sometimes independent Baptist preachers are the worst in the world for this. We can be the most obnoxious, self-centered, conceited, self-righteous bunch of people in the whole world. I'll tell you what, it's easy to criticize other churches. You know, I get to preach in a lot of different churches. And while I'm there, I don't want y'all to think I'm just off loafing when I preach. You know what I'm doing when I'm going preaching? I'm getting an education. And brother, am I ever getting an education. You know what I do when I go into a church? I listen. I just say, I'll see what makes this place tick. And you know what I hear? When everybody's criticizing everybody else. If I go into a small church, they'll say, bless God, there ain't many of us here, but what we got, love the Lord. And if you preach the truth like we do, you're not going to have a big crowd. Insinuating anybody who preaches the truth ain't going to have a big crowd. I go into a big church and they'll say, praise God, if you got something good to give them, the people will come. And you got the big churches criticizing the little ones for not being big. You got the little churches criticizing the big ones for being compromisers and soft soapers and everything else. You know what I found out? It makes us feel better if we can put everybody else down, kind of lift up ourselves a little bit. God's not interested in those kind of blessings that we get where we have to just mash everybody else down to make ourselves look good. There is such a thing as preaching about compromise and sin in religion, and we ought to do that, but it not ever should be just to make ourselves look big and criticize and find fault with everybody else. You don't criticize too quickly, brother. They say even a clock that's broke is right twice a day. Number two, the reasons people criticize. I'm going to tell you why people criticize. Number one, they're under conviction. They see you doing something for God and they get convicted because they're not doing it. So they begin to find fault with the way you do it. Somebody said this last night. Might have been last night. We was out there at Burger King. There's a gang out there. I wish all of you had been out there last night. We had a blessing. We had a time. We had guitars, singing, preaching. How many of y'all preached out there last night? Raise your hand. Look at the preachers that preached out there last night. About two or three times each. We stayed out there about 2 hours and had a great time. And did you know what? Somebody always comes up with this. I think it was last night. Somebody might have told me this. I don't even remember who it was. They come up and somebody will say, hey, there's a time and a place for this type of thing. Who was it told me that last night? Was it somebody here? I forgot who it was. There's a time and a place. And that's happened to us lots of times. There's a time and a place for this, boys. Now, when they say that to me, I always kind of get aggravated. And I say, yeah, all the time and every place. The Lord says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, why? Why would a church member from another church come over to a preacher preaching the gospel and say, you should stop this. There's a time and a place for this. Unless they're feeling a little bit guilty themselves. Hey, see, you out here taking a stand for God, and they say something in the side of them says, you sorry thing, you ought to be doing something for the Lord. And then they start finding fault with you. See, what you do to relieve your conscience is find fault with somebody else. When you see somebody doing something for God, you can never relieve your conscience until you find something wrong with them, and then you can say, well, he does this or he does that, so that lets me off the hook. See, that's human nature. We're under conviction. They find fault with the way you do it. Somebody's always griping about the bus ministry. Somebody's always fuzzing about, well, I don't believe that you should do this. I had a woman one time jump me out there at Rose's. When Rose used to be out there, and I've been preaching all over the place, pastoring church and everything, this woman came up to me, wrote me a letter, said, dear sir, do you have mental problems? So I said, said, do you not have a church that will let you preach? She thought we couldn't get a place to preach in church nowhere, so that's why we preached outside. And it was pitiful. I thought about writing her back a letter and say, dear ma'am, do you have mental problems? Do you honestly think the parking lot out here and all the sin out here is not the place where the gospel should be preached? But, you know, that's just the way it goes. People criticize because they're under conviction. You can always tell a failure by the way they criticize success. You can always tell the team that gets beat's always said, well, the referee's cheated. If they'd have won, they wouldn't have said that. You ever heard the winning teams come on the announcer and say, them refs cheated? I thought the officials done a real good job and we just had to go out and do the best we can and we just had to win it. That's all they say, you know. They don't say nothing. They're just wasting time on our time. But did you know, the one that's griping is the one that's behind. The one that's griping is always the man that's losing. The one that's fussing and belly aching is always, and he don't want to take responsibilities for his own sorriness, so he points out fault with somebody else and blames it on them. Another thing, another reason people criticize is because they're jealous. They're jealous because you're doing something and they ain't. Somebody told me one time, they said, as long as they're kicking you, Danny, that means you're ahead of them. Amen. If they keep kicking you in the rear, brother, that means you're out in front. Amen. We've had parents get mad. Listen, we have had parents get mad because some kid will come up there and get saved in the old building, here in the one, and parents that claim to be Christians and are mad because they come to our church and got saved and said, you're not going back to that church no more. But it looks like they'd shout the roof off the house. It looks like they'd say, glory to God, my kid got saved. Hallelujah, my kid's going to hell. But just because it's here, they get mad about it. It's pitiful. Our county, McDowell County, is eat up with it. Jealousy, brother. Jealousy. People usually criticize. Listen to me. I'm going to give you a nugget here, and I'm going to move on quick. I'm not going to be long. People usually criticize the person they're jealous of. That's why a pretty girl has such a hard time. You know why all the other girls talk about a pretty girl? You can figure it out. Pretty girl can come to church, and automatically people don't like her. I can't stand her. She thinks, I just don't like her. What, do you know her? No, I just don't like her, though. Poor ugly girl comes to church. Bless her heart. She's so sweet. Ain't that weird? Well, that pretty one might be sweet. Well, I just don't like her. Why? Because she's prettier than you are? You afraid your husband will look at her? What's wrong? You know what? People usually criticize the person that they secretly envy. Men are the same way. Oh, I don't like him. I don't see nothing so hot about old so-and-so. I don't like it. And especially if their wife brags on somebody. If their wife brags on somebody, boy, that makes them mad. And they don't like that at all. It's so, if your wife's got any sense, you'll never brag on nobody else. Your husband will hate them from then on. Another reason people criticize is it's so easy. It requires no talent, no work. Any lazy old bum can do it. They say criticizing an egg is a lot easier than laying one. If you don't have time to criticize when you harmonize and sympathize and evangelize and do what God wants you to do, it's a habit. Sometimes you feel real bad if you criticize somebody and come to find out you didn't know what you're talking about. John Wesley one time, he criticized a man for being real covetous because a man didn't give nothing an offering or something, come to find out that man was about to starve to death, didn't have nothing. A lot of times, buddy, we criticize somebody. And I tell you, a lot of people get hurt real bad. People sometimes will quit church and everything just over people just yak, 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 yak. Say a young girl goes out and gets pregnant. Brother, I know that's wrong. You know it's wrong. God knows it's wrong. Everybody knows it's wrong. It's not going to do any good for people to just start yak, 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 and force that girl out of the church. Brother, she needs brothers and sisters in Christ more than she ever did. He said, well, there's just no way I didn't say approve of it. I said love them and help them and pray for them and help them to raise that kid for God. It's easy. It's easy to sit back and talk. A little old town this size, too. If you say something about somebody, they'll hear it sooner or later. The people who criticize, number three. The people that criticize are the ones that have quit running and sat down on the sidelines. We're in a race. We don't have time to watch each other. I used to go to what they call these preachers. I'm not saying preacher fellowships are wrong. Probably a lot of them are. But I'm not saying they are. That's the biggest, biggest bunch of gossiping, criticizing flakes you ever been around in your life. Lord have mercy, brother. I thank God that I don't have time to go to them no more. I used to go to them, there'd be about 15 preachers there. The pastor would call on several preachers. We've had them here. I'm not saying it's wrong for preachers to get together and fellowship. I am saying it's wrong for preachers to get together and put everybody else in the world down to try to soothe their guilty conscience. Talk about everybody else like as a dog, do everything but cuss everybody else in the world and how right we are and how wrong everybody else is. And Lord in mercy, sometimes I wonder, I think, man, if they say, well, so-and-so believed this and so-and-so believed that and so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. I thought, man, if you guys are out doing anything for God, you wouldn't even have time to know what everybody else in the world's doing. Somebody asked me one time, did you hear about Jack Hylton? I said, I don't know if he did or he didn't. I've got a ministry to take care of. I've got a life to live. I've got a church to pastor. I've got a family to raise. I ain't got time to fool with what Jack Hylton does. I don't care about reading a book about it. I don't care about listening to a tape about it. Who cares, brother? I've got enough to keep me busy 24 hours a day. These spiritual snoops bother me. Why ain't they out knocking on a door and winning somebody the Lord or preaching or building a church rather than just spending all their time digging up dirt on everybody else? I don't understand that. We're running a race. We all got our, just like you got your pew, we've got our lane to run in. We're all running in a lane, see? We're running. And you know what? If I'm in my lane, and I'm running down here where I'm supposed to, and he's running beside me, and I'm supposed to be running this way, and I'm running this way, if I'm running my lane, keeping my eyes on the Lord, I ain't got time to look at your tennis shoes, see how they're tied, or to see, you know, if you're a jogging right or holding your arms right. I ain't got time. I'm busy doing mine. Too many Christians have done this. They quit running. They quit visiting. They quit praying. They quit reading the Bible. And they're sitting here over on the sideline, saying, he's not picking up his feet right. He's got on the wrong kind of tennis shoes. He stepped out of his lane. When you hear somebody running their mouth all the time, you know one thing. They quit running and they're sitting over on the stands finding fault with everybody else. I love to be around somebody. Somebody says, did you hear about so-and-so? They say, no, I didn't know nothing about it. I love people like that. You know what that means? They keep their nose out of everybody's business and stay busy for God. Don't. The ones that quit running have sat down on the sideline. Another thing. How often have you ever met a critic, the church, who tried to make it better? Do you know anybody who's a critic of the church that tries to improve it? The ones who are full of bitterness, have an old foul spirit, are the ones that criticize. The ones who are unreasonable. Sometimes people just flat out unreasonable. You got to be reasonable, people. We're a church full of imperfect people. And you're going to see some things wrong. You're going to see some things that rub you wrong. You're going to see some things that upset you. You're going to see some things you don't like. Period! You say, do you see? Sometimes these girls in the youth choir get up here with a short dress on or something. Now, I make it a habit. I'm not going to get down here and stare at them. That's a sin. But sometimes when they come right by and you can't help but notice, that bothers me. I don't like that. I don't think they should. Amen? You shouldn't do that. Girl, youth choir, no youth choir. You ought to have on a dress that covers up your nakedness. But listen. You can't just sit back there and get yourself consumed and worrying about what everybody else is wearing and worried about whatever. God will take care of it in His good time and His good way through the preaching of the Word of God. Don't just sit there and say, you know why you can't do that? Because the ones that sit back and look at them never visit. Or maybe never give to missions. Or maybe have a wicked spirit at home. Or maybe watch dirty TV shows. Or maybe there's always something where it'll come right back on you. Now, you're just getting awful quiet looking on me now. You see how easy it is to sit back and find fault? You can find out what's wrong with everybody. And I agree, that is wrong. But here's what you got to do. You've got to come to church and worry about getting your own self right with God and getting a blessing for yourself and leave the straightening it out up to the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, so-and-so, I don't know about them. I heard this and I heard that. You can't sit around and dwell on stuff like that. I've heard stuff on some of you that I just blocked out of my mind. I block it out because if I think about it, it hinders me, you know, of fellowshipping with you. Why are you blocking that? Amen. Because I don't know if it's true or not, and it's none of my business. Time will tell if it's true. It'll come out on you. People are unreasonable. People are unexperienced. Never criticize a person till you've been down the road they've been down. That's a good rule to go by. And that's hard. It's easy for me to sit here and criticize. You people ought to do this and you people ought to do that. But I'm not the one sitting down there where you're sitting. I'm not the one that's got your problems. If I was in your shoes, I may be worse off than you. It's easy to look over at your brother and say, well, I think they should do this and they should do that and she shouldn't do this and she shouldn't do that. And you may be right. But you may do as bad or worse if you was in their shoes. Or raised like they is raised. Or taught like they is taught. It's easy to be critical. It's a lot different. It's easy to sit on the sideline. You know, watching a ball game, when them boys shoot them free throws and stuff, you say, good night, why'd he miss that? But Have you been? They make it look so easy, you know. They shoot 85-90% in free throw line, and you think, well, why in the world they miss that crazy thing? Just get out there and try it, and you'll find out real quick why they miss it. I don't care how good you are, you're going to miss sometime. And that's the same way with a Christian. You're going to miss sometime. Well, the last thing I'll say, and I'm going to have to hurry here, how to handle criticism. Now, this is when you're on the other end. When somebody criticizes you, when somebody says something that hurts you, once you find out somebody says something about you, what should you do? Remember now, don't forget, it's your reaction that's important. You're not responsible for other people's action. You're responsible for your reaction. You got to remember, criticism can't really hurt you. If criticism had power, the skunk would be extinct. There wouldn't be none. Nobody ever says nothing good about a skunk. But you still see them wandering around and you still smell them. That criticizing don't hurt them, brother. It don't hurt them. They said the moon wouldn't even shine if it paid attention to all the dogs that barked at it and people like that. It can't hurt you. It can't hurt you. All right, here's your thing, fellas. Here's your thing. Preachers, here's your thing. Bus workers, number one, when you get criticized, don't fight back. Don't retaliate. When you hear somebody said something about you, don't say, well, so what? They do. They're just as bad. Blah, 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 blah. That's the wrong thing to do. That puts you in the same category. And boy, she got that picture of that boy in her hands, and she said, now this is mine. And the auctioneer got up and he said the second request of the father was he wanted everybody to know that whoever it was who bought the picture of the young man automatically gets all the rest of the inheritance. And everybody goes, whoa! And the woman goes, whoopee! And brother said, it's automatically... Don't fight back. One time Michelangelo had this sculpture, whatever they used to make, you know, this thing. And boy, had it, and this critic come up. And he said, what do you think about it? And the guy said, well, it looks a little off right there on that one arm there. Instead of saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, Michelangelo just said, okay. And he took his hammer and chisel and went, ding, 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 ding. Never even hit it, you know. Just acted like he did and dusted it off a little bit. And the critic said, ah, oh, much better. That's the way you handle criticism. He didn't do nothing to it. Some people just like to feel good and find fault with everything. What about that lady that had his car? She pulled into a service station. She said, sir, this thing keeps making a noise. There's something wrong with my car. Peck, 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 this, that. He got underneath the hood, you know, took a hammer and screwdriver and hit like that, you know. Now start it up, ma'am. Oh, that's much better, sir. You know, that's the way to handle criticism. Just let them think what they want to. If you're too immature to take criticism, you're too immature to take praise. A lot of people want praise but don't want the criticism. If you can't take criticism, you can't take praise. It'll go to your head. One of the surest marks of a good character is a man's ability to accept criticism without feeling hard toward the person that gives it to them. Very seldom do I call somebody in my office or something and I offer what they call constructive criticism. I hardly ever do that. And most of the time I read them because I know most people can't take it. They'd get mad. But I have had people tell me, I've had some of these preachers tell me, they'll say, Brother Danny, if you see that I'm doing something wrong and I'm really making, tell me. I want you to tell me. I say, are you man enough to take it now? If I really do, would you get mad at me? A lot of times they say, tell me if I'm wrong, preacher. If you tell them I'm wrong, hey, it's none of your business, I'll bust you. You know. Are you man enough to take it? Are you man enough to take it? All right. Number two. Check. This is important. Check to see if it is deserved. Before you pop off and blow up and blow out and get mad, check to see if it's deserved. If it's untrue, disregard it. If it's unfair, keep from irritation. If it's ignorant, smile. If it's justified, learn from it. We were talking about the other day, I hear it all the time, you know, he's talking about getting criticized. Son, you wait till you get there if you think that's bad. You wait. You'll try to do your best, and they'll tell awful lies on you. Ever was. They gave us one of his visitation papers a while ago, and this guy said, why didn't we come to our church? Somebody wrote a note, I don't know who done it, said he won't come, does not like Danny Castle. Ask him why, he says he doesn't know, doesn't even know him. I can smile about that. I can smile. It hurts my feelings, but I can smile about that. Somebody told me the other day, you know what happened recently right here in Marion? A lady that works in a doctor's office. Women sitting in there yakking in the doctor's office, and they're talking about me real bad. And they're saying, he's this and he's that. And they're talking about the recreation director up there that got drunk or something, and they put his picture in the paper. And they said, Danny Castle got drunk, and the police picked him up, and they didn't put his picture in the paper. And it's not fair just because he's a preacher. I think his picture should have been in the paper too. And finally, this lady working in there took all she could take and slid the window open and leaned up and said, hey, I want you to know that's not true. I know him, and I know he didn't get drunk, and blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, we're sorry. And then this lady come out and said, but I'll tell you one thing. If he ever did, it would be in the paper. She told me that, and it hurt my feelings. I thought, well, if they'd shut their mouth, they might not have to go to the doctor so much. Amen. I shouldn't think like that, though. That's the wrong way to think. I might be at the doctor tomorrow. But you got to learn how to accept criticism. I'm not going to get up every Sunday morning and people say, I'm not drunk, people. I'm not drinking. No. And I'm not. I've never been drunk in my life. I don't even know what it feels like to be drunk. I don't even know. I have no idea. I don't know how stuff like that gets started. But I'm not going to waste all my life trying to stop every time anybody says something about me. I figure if anybody's got any sense at all, well, no better. And if people believe it, they'll just have to believe it. That's all I can say. If it's justified, learn from it. A lot of times when we find out people criticize it, if you really start thinking about it, sometimes it might be God talking to us about our attitude. It's hard to take when the Lord just hits you. I believe He's hit some of you tonight while I've been up here preaching. And you didn't like that part of the sermon that hit you. You grow up. Endured such contradiction of sinners. If you didn't have no competitors, you get lazy. You know that? And here's what you do, lastly in closing. You just keep on going for Jesus. They said one time a preacher was out soul winning. He went and knocked on a door. Lady come to the door. He said, I'm so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, Baptist church. She said, I've heard some bad things about you. He said, is that so? He said, what'd you hear? She said, I've heard a lot of bad things. He said, ma'am, if you'll let me in and talk to you, I'll tell you a lot worse. He said, there's a bunch of real bad stuff. She said, really? He said, yeah, and I'll tell you. So she let him in. He started talking to her, wound up leading her to the Lord or something, you know, witnessing to her. That's the way to handle criticism. Don't fly off the handle and get mad and make a fool out of yourself. Just let people run their mouth. They want to run their mouth, let them run it. God will even out the score one of these days. He's keeping the records, and that's all that matters. Amen? Let's pray. So close tonight. Don't ever, ever let critics keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. You say, well, they talked about me at church. I'm going to quit. No, don't quit just because somebody talked about you. Let them quit. Don't let people run you off from your church. That's crazy. You going to run every time somebody says something about you you don't like? Toughen up. Say, God, help me to accept it. Maybe it's needed. Maybe it's deserved. Maybe God will use it to help you. And if it's not needed and it's not deserved, just forget about it. The Lord will take care of it. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts. Bless tonight. Bless our church. Help me as an individual to practice what I preach tonight. Sometimes it's awful hard to take criticism. When I find out somebody said something, Lord, sometimes I want to fight back or sometimes I want to say something mean about them. I pray you'll forgive me and help me to have the right spirit and let you take care of my battles. I pray that you'd help us as a church not to have hard feelings toward other churches or other preachers or anything. Lord, help us to care and love each other and do the will of God that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand. If you want to come and pray. I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother John. 404.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus?
Him.
Who died.
You want to come? Come on. Come on, pray.
Cruel tree. To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary.
That's good.
I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lived dead?
Amen.
How many are the chained I've helped to free?
Listen to them words.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me?
Oh, that sounds good. Sing it, Brother John.
The hours that I have wasted are so many.
Listen to what you're singing now. Listen.
The hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. That I have lifted. How many
Amen.
Are the chained I've helped to free?
Sing it now.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me?
Now,